Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Aww. Dan. Why are you crying, Dan?
My computer died. I've had a fucking nightmare these last few days. My computer shot itself, and my backup computer also shot itself, which I've literally never used. My backup Razer laptop, it was a pile of crap. It just fell apart immediately. So I have no computer, and I'm talking to you today through an old server that I have reworked into being a Windows thing.
But Dan, the Undertaker came back!
Yeah, well, I wish I fucking would have resurrected my computer before then. Computer first, dead man second. That's the order.
Something tells me that his Adam Rose gimmick of the month or whatever is going to be Adam Rose, computer technician.
Something like
he's
that.
Just going to try to dream
right,
him into.
This is how it is. Like this is how much everybody knows how much I like love my computers and stuff. Is when like I was tweeting that my computer shat itself. Like my dad called me up and like consoled me like someone I knew died. Like that literally at that sort of level of it'll be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Like it's up to that sort of level. It's just sort of like I'm there going I'm completely lost. If the internet ever goes down, I'm like I don't know what to do. Immediately become a savage. Actually, yeah, and I didn't do an Adam Rose gimmick, and I sort of skimmed things. So there's no Dan notes. We're going to be completely lost for this one. I know.
No, look, you know, we're going to pull through. We're gonna lift you up and bring you through this crisis. I mean, we can't do shit about your computer, but we can help out with talking about wrestling.
We can try to lift your spirits.
Yeah, we can try to do that. I know. When I had to put my dog down a couple months ago, doing an episode of Going in Raw. Really didn't do shit for me, so I have no consolation. Well, I have no idea how to do that. So,
yeah,
you're kind of on your own. hopefully, you know, you just turn on the lights, maybe go out for a walk. I don't know. Join a group, maybe.
It's,
I don't know.
It's sort of pissing down with rain right now. There's a fucking storm outside, and I've just realized the shops are now shut, and I didn't get anything for dinner. This is the best fucking day of my life. I'm glad you're all here to witness this.
See, this is great. And we have an appropriate book of the match in Starrcade 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. This is happy times.
Cowboys versus Russians.
I know. That was great. Come on, it's fucking great. You have to love that. I've got some Steve notes here for Starrcade, but we can just go through
our
notes for Battleground. No, yeah. But I can look. What's a highlight for us? Undertaker came back.
Yeah.
What did you got? What did, because this is going to be our lead. This is going to be our thumb. This is going to be our lead story.
Yeah.
What did everybody think? How did you think? What was your gut reaction in retrospect? Now that we've had, or in hindsight, rather, we've had some time to think about it. What's your guys' take on the Undertaker's return?
Awesome.
All right. I like that. See, positivity.
Positivity.
No, I didn't like it at all.
All right,
I don't like it right now on face value. I need to know why. I need answers. If he just coming back,
heel value.
If he just came back just to screw Lesnar over,
I think they'll get a match. They get a revenge match.
No. Yeah, they're gonna have a match. I'm sure Undertaker is gonna try to avenge his loss at WrestleMania. But I want to know why. Is he just doing it just to screw him over? Is he there to help Rollins?
No, he's just there to screw him over. Dumb.
Yeah, I don't think the Undertaker even watches wrestling anymore. That's
probably
the thing. I think he's kind of like Dan in relation to Going in Raw.
Yeah.
I think, except for the anomaly that was last week, I don't think he even pays attention at all. He just checks in. Whenever it's time for him to check in, he'll just check in. He's like, man, I got this beef with Lesnar. I have no idea what he's doing right now. I have no idea if he's even going to be at Battleground. I heard through the grapevine that he might have been suspended at some point. But I'm going to show up and see what happens. And sure enough, he showed up. And I don't think this has anything to do with Rollins. I think this is purely for his revenge. My only point, I like 25% agree with you, Larson, in that if he was going to get his revenge, you would have thought it would have been against him at the last WrestleMania.
Or even at SummerSlam last year.
No, so it makes sense kayfabe-wise. Like, would you rather me explain this to you kayfabe of he's just a wrestler, or kayfabe of he's an evil spirit ghost?
Oh, story-wise, it has to be story, because we know why. I mean, he wasn't fit to wrestle Lesnar at WrestleMania this past year.
Like, it's easy to explain away, because you just go, right, so what happened was, when The Undertaker was defeated, the evil dead man spirit that was inhabiting the body of, what's his name, Mark Calloway, is that it?
Yeah.
The evil spirit left him, which is why when he went backstage, he collapsed because the spirit just left him and he was left on his own for a while. And the spirit was at peace defeated, and he was like, I've got it now. And then Wyatt comes along at the last WrestleMania and wakes him up again and angers him, and now he's up, he might as well. You see? That's how you explain it.
See, if that was the explanation, I'd be fine with it, but yeah. That's not going to be the explanation.
Yeah.
Well, no, nobody's going to explain it that way, though, because you know, nobody can talk about spirits and stuff, but Dan just provided a perfect explanation. Larson, we're trying to boost Dan's spirits here, so whatever he says, just run with it. Be very happy
okay,
that
okay.
he said
sorry,
it.
Sorry, great idea. Genius.
God damn it.
Brilliant. Let's do that.
I thought you'd just come out and go, you hurt Kane! And that'd be it.
He didn't. He didn't get his revenge for breaking his 2-decade-old streak. He didn't care about that. He was like,
oh,
whatever.
It was my
time, anyways. It wasn't even that he broke Kane's foot. It's that he was mocking Kane, his baby. It had nothing to do with breaking his foot. He was like, because he didn't watch that far into Raw. That was the end of Raw. He just checks out the beginnings for the promos, and he's like, oh, he just called my baby brother out and started talking mess about me. I better get into shape real quick and head on down to Battleground, wherever that is.
About him getting into shape, he still walks like he's like 70 years old.
Those tombstone pile drivers looked, oh my God.
Like precarious.
His knees. And he's a total professional, and so I never had a doubt he wasn't going to kill Brock's neck because he lifted him up as high, mid-thigh, because he knew he'd be dropping down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and you saw those giant, like, I swear to God, it was like he had pillows on his kneecaps.
Yeah, I know.
Under those.
Right knee there, he has a huge brace you could see.
Under those leather pants of his.
Yeah.
And so when he dropped, but it's like he dropped, and then of course the idiot crowd starts chanting one more time.
Well, they started chanting Tombstone City.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I didn't even notice that. That's fantastic. I love that. But yeah, it's like, you know, I would be like, one's enough, one's just fine.
Take it easy.
Save your knees. No.
Wait till Kneecaps. SummerSlam.
This is some WrestleMania. Yeah, it'd be great.
Inflammation.
I know. Ibuprofen.
Oh my God, I could do that all day. So yeah, that...
I just have a hard time. Granted, I know there's Undertaker's mystique, there's nostalgia working in his favor, but when he kind of limps out there, I can't really take him seriously as a threat to Brock Lesnar.
Like,
I can't.
Because I've only seen The Undertaker a few times. Like, every time you see The Undertaker, he's very, like, cool and calculated, and he's just sort of there, and he wrestles, and he leaves. But this, the way he was pushing it was a lot more, like, actual genuinely really just being really pissed off. And because he had that face that was, I'm going to rip you a new one, I was kind of like, yeah, he genuinely could rip him a new one. I kind of agree with that.
I kind of see both sides because, you know, the realist in me knows, okay, this dude is on, like, this is it, like, it's very, very quickly coming to a close for The Undertaker. And his knees are just, they're looking like they were going to buckle. But Dan, that point also is that, you know, he came back, he didn't have his weird, you know, shaved mohawk thing. His hair was a bit more American Badass. There was none of the pomp and circumstance of like an entrance or anything like that. He showed up dressed in black.
His facial reactions and whatnot were all very American Badass era.
It was very American Badass. And he even had like a little beer belly going.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I thought that worked for me much more than him. Because you know how like, it typically at WrestleMania, I like the urgency of this time because typically with WrestleMania, he would mosey out.
I know.
He would look at like the WrestleMania sign or like a SummerSlam sign because of SummerSlam or whatever. And then he would, you know, maybe there'd be like some loudspeakers going, hey, Brock, I have to explain shit or whatever. I like that. You know, he's just back and he's looking to fuck up Brock Lesnar.
He's back to kick Lesnar in the dick. That's all.
And I'm thinking to myself, did he just learn that finisher after like 30 years in the business? Like the dick kick, he just learned that. He's like, why didn't I do this to preserve my damn streak?
I have an idea.
Hmm.
And this is the only way I'll get behind The Undertaker's return. This is his last ride.
Yeah.
He retires at WrestleMania, and what we're going to do is going to do his entire career in reverse. It's going to be like a Benjamin Button angle where he's going to start off as old man Taker and then eventually he's going to get in better and better shape, and at his retirement match at WrestleMania he's going to look exactly like he did, even fewer tattoos, when he first debuted at Survivor Series 1990.
Who did he fight? Didn't he fight Hogan?
No, he was in the Survivor Series match, I think, with Team DiBiase.
With Team Half of Them Are Dead.
Well, that could be. It's probably all the teams.
That's true. Although, surprisingly, we'll get to this later. Surprisingly, I looked up how many people are dead from Starrcade 85. In the pre-steroid era, oh my God, a lot of people. I mean, the pre-really nasty steroid era. Most of these people are still alive.
Yeah.
Most of them are kind of, you know,
I swear at least eight of them died in that ring during Starrcade, but okay.
You would think because of blood loss.
Yeah. There was just a lot of blood transfusion going on. Like, a lot of people were just swapping blood.
Although Abdul the Butcher was on the card, so.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll talk about him in a little bit because, man, what was that fucking thing on his head? We'll wait.
Oh, yeah, the huge.
We'll just wait.
Open, gaping wound,
dude,
growth
seriously,
thing.
It was like something out of a fucking, who did that?
There was like a David Cronenberg.
Yeah, thank you, a David Cronenberg movie, exactly. But anyways, getting back to what are some other? Okay, so the Undertaker happened. I thought it was pretty kick ass. They did. Was it just me? Maybe I was like sort of half paying attention when the lights went down and came back up. He got in there pretty quick, right? Were the lights off for a while or were they quick?
No, real quick. I watched it a few times.
It was real quick, right?
Quick. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Because it's Seth's new finisher. He just turns into the Undertaker.
He pauses the game and swaps out the character.
It's like Super Saiyan. He just goes boom, and then hey, he's the Undertaker.
The lights go out to hide the manimal level special effect of the transition.
I would love, hey, you know, that's probably the point of view of somebody who literally just got into wrestling since the past WrestleMania. Like they tuned in like the, you know, like the superstars like 3 weeks later, and they're like, oh, this wrestling sounds really cool. I want to know all about it. But then he doesn't do any research. So he doesn't know who the Undertaker is. And then he just like, wow, Seth Rollins turns into a grumpy old man. That's really cool.
I wanted, if Undertaker had two like water balloons filled with like blood and just threw them on the ground when it was dark. So when it came back up, Undertaker was standing there. And there were just two smears where Seth and the referee used to be. Just these two smears of blood along the ring. Unless it's like, looking at them like, oh shit. I want Predator Undertaker. That's the new version of the Undertaker I want.
I wish that Undertaker would have cut, like, the lights go out, lights go back on, and it's Undertaker wearing Rollins' gear and, like, a really bad Rollins mask.
Yeah.
And so at first Lesnar's, like, he doesn't understand what happened. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, it's just Rollins. I don't know what happened. And then Undertaker takes off the Rollins mask. It's like Mission Impossible, but, like, really crappy. Even crappier than actually Mission Impossible.
Yeah, crappier.
No, he's wearing a Sting mask because of the thing with RVD at one point. Which, a gif of which I've seen. So yeah, it's like, it's Sting! Oh, it's The Undertaker! Just no explanation of why he does it.
That'd be great. That's his new gimmick. He just takes that one moment and just expands on that. What other highlights were there? Oh, let's talk Owens versus Cena. Larson, what was our prediction for Owens?
I think we both thought Owens was going to win.
Okay. Did we? Is that true?
Or
do
I think so.
Okay, you're probably right. You're probably right. Because going in, it seemed like it would have made sense for Owens to win.
Yep.
Another good match. Cena's doing this top rope. I like number one, nitpicking time. I love that Cena's stupid, horrible, fucking springboard stunner got rejected.
Reversed.
Yeah. He hit the right trigger button in time. And then the top rope AA, I tweeted this out. See, you know, say what you will about Cena, he'll protect the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes so much more extra effort to sort of like position the guy so that you're not, most people, if they were doing this, they would have just kind of just thrown him there. And it's like, okay, I hope you can swivel your fat midsection. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have
like
no regrets.
A newborn bird out of the nest. Just
yeah, exactly. Hope you fly.
You learn how to fly.
But he, man, it takes so much more extra effort to, like, swivel him over to make sure, okay, your neck is protected, you're good, mm-hmm. you'll just land.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I always love seeing that, because, I don't know, it's nice when wrestlers protect each other and it's obvious. That being said, it was a decent match. I think this is probably, like, SummerSlam, they're going to have to really do something different to step up their game. But go ahead.
I didn't like this one.
Yeah,
it was finisher. It was the exact same thing. It was finish. They do a finisher. They go to a replay. Somebody goes for finisher. Counter into my finisher. Go to a replay, and they just loop that for the whole thing. It's just that game. But it just felt like it's like, what's it gonna take to kill these two? I'm like, maybe something called a finisher would finish this, but no.
Yeah,
we need to bring back finishers because everything's now just signature moves. Everything.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's infinite finishers, like our fuck wrestling.
It is infinite finishers, and I get that. I think maybe I'm just numb to it at this point because they've been doing it for a little while now. I remember, Lars, you remember when Stone Cold? I think that was the first time I really noticed it, or the first time they did it. And it was a shocker when Stone Cold and The Rock were fighting, probably at 17, and it was, I don't know, 16. I don't know which one it was. It was Stone Cold. Maybe it was 15, and they started doing each other's finishers to each other. And they would kick out, and The Rock kicked out of like 3 stunners, and Stone Cold kicked out of like 3 rock bottoms, and then he gave a rock bottom. Remember back then, it was shocking.
Yeah,
it was. Oh my God, I've never seen before. This is something that we've never seen before. And these days, for whatever reason, just over the past year or so, it's just finisher city. Like, people will just start kicking out of finishers left and right.
I guess to a certain extent, I don't mind people kicking out of the AA because I feel like that's Cena and the WWE acknowledging that John Cena has a shitty finisher.
Yeah, yeah. Or I mean, I don't mind them actually like sort of acknowledging that Cena's not what he used to be. Like, mm-hmm. there's some method to his execution that's like whittling away that we can't really notice because it's the same fucking thing he always does. But yeah. Like how he lands it or whatever. The only thing that I kind of did that I was okay, one thing that I was okay with in terms of the infinite finisher thing is that it was sort of establishing Owens, because Owens, he bitches out too much on the regular show. On mm-hmm. whenever there's a fight to be had, he does a thing where he just looks like he's going to go back and have a hot dog instead. Mm-hmm. He just sort of gets out of the ring, says, "Nah, I'm going to save myself. I'm really not in good shape." And he leaves.
And the hot dog will fix that.
Exactly.
Hot dogs are to Kevin Owens what spinach is to Papa.
Exactly. And so I don't, because it's sort of establishing, okay, what are his power levels? And I like that it's sort of establishing them as strong.
Yeah.
Which is why it kind of, I'm sort of torn on him tapping out, because I was kind of hoping that he would, but then I don't want a screwy finish either. I think I just didn't want Cena to win somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think what could have been okay with that finish, I was thinking about Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania when they had their match.
Oh, if they'd
and
really,
Shawn,
really
Shawn Michaels
going.
Was in an ankle lock for what seemed like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And if they could have done something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or have him, I know it's kind of cliche to have him pass out.
That's kind of
a face thing to do.
No,
anyway,
but so. I honestly, either of those things, like if he would have been in the STF or whatever they call it, if he was in that for like 5 straight minutes or whatever, mm-hmm. just continually clawing and clawing and clawing, or if he passes out, I think either of those things, because he kind of tapped quick. And I'm like, after all that.
Especially after, because it was like the AA off the top rope, he kicks out, then he gets put in the STF, and he's like, that's it, I give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that small package in between. That was like his last gasp offense.
I'm going to sort of pay attention going forward to see if maybe his thing is he can take the big bumps, but if there's any amount of like physical strength, anything that's strenuous physically, like that's where he draws the line. He's
the
like,
hot dogs is slightly too far away. No, tap.
Yeah. That just sucks. I'm tapping out. Screw this shit. I don't know.
To fix finishes, because finishes are the moment you have sort of that, it's just that they're all pretty much, they're not really finishes, they're just things you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Having, everybody gets like, maybe once a year you start using a kind of a new finisher, and then your old one becomes more of a signature move, and then the next year you get another one, and you sort of recycle them a bit. So when you first get it, it's unstoppable, and then as people start using it, they start getting more and more used to it, and people, the tactics of how to survive, how did Lanta stop that move. Then you get up a new one, and then it resets. So everybody can have like really strong periods of new finishes. So they start pushing out new finishes. You go, that's a really strong one. And then they can get their old ones for signature moves and stuff like that. And that keeps the finisher strong and keeps them reusing things. But I like that as an idea. I just want a finisher to finish a match. They're called finishes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to have the excitement of, he's not going to tap. He's hit the finisher. Because you don't have that anymore. Because the only thing I can say that's really good about the old stuff is when someone gets hit with a finisher, it's finished. That's it. And if anyone ever kicked out, it would be like, what? But now it's like, they kicked out. Yeah, well, the match is only been going on 15 minutes. I'm not surprised. It's
funny. We're like I like that. Like the kids these days, they're going to be coming up thinking that finishers is basically signature moves. Like there are no finishers.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember watching a WCW pay-per-view from like 95, and they had this thing called the Legends match where they would flip it to black and white. they would turn the card to black and white, and they'd bring out two old timers. It was Wahoo McDaniel and somebody else, and the finisher was literally like an arm bar. And or some like terrible thing that we would never use now. And you saw that in Starrcade 85 too, like some of their finishers were just like they were stumbles, you know.
Oh, it was my
like,
god, he gently bit his arm, the ultimate finisher.
Exactly. And so it's like we're at the point now where we're like, yeah, I remember when finishers used to mean something. And but the kids, they're gonna be growing up like, oh, what, the stunner, that's not a finisher, that's just what he does to that sort of that whittles away the other guy's power levels, you know.
Yeah.
That's the sign for the dude to get the beer out of the fridge. That's what the stunner was.
Exactly. That's how they're going to know it now. I'm gonna moving away a little bit. Wait. Are we all in agreement? Owens is gonna win this belt at SummerSlam.
I hope so.
He has to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any way around it.
I'd rather Lesnar wins it, and then Lesnar has an open challenge every Raw. We just get 10 minutes of quiet time in a Raw. It's like, who wants to challenge us? And just no one comes out.
It's like 10 minutes of Heyman proselytizing over the religion of Lesnar, which has just gotten out of control. And then, and then it's just crickets.
Yeah.
Nobody comes out. I like that. Or somebody comes out with like a gun.
That's what Sheamus has in his case.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. He's got, are you not entertained? You just shot a guy. Everybody's stunned. No, we're not. We're horrified. You just literally killed a man with a gun. Okay, so a low light for me. Where the fuck is Dean Ambrose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird. It's like they used to, okay, you have a guy who could legit be in the main event, who was in the main event 2 months ago, and you don't know what to do with him. And it's almost like they don't want to, like, sort of disrespect his main event status, and so they just don't do anything with him as opposed to putting him in, like, an upper mid card thing. I don't know. It's weird. Like, what the hell's going on with Dean Ambrose?
I assume he's going to go up against Rollins at SummerSlam, because Rollins has nothing to do now that Lesnar's pissed off.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too last night after watching it. And the only conceivable opponents I can think of are Ambrose, or if they really accelerate the kind of disintegration of the authority, maybe Triple H.
Yeah. Triple H would possibly. I think it's going to make more sense for Triple H Rollins to be at WrestleMania. And Ambrose, I think, would be the only person, and I think it's the kind of thing they probably want to keep the belt on Rollins for now.
Yeah.
To build that for whenever he's going to maybe Survivor Series, he'll lose it to, I don't know, who Reigns maybe?
Undertaker!
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, Undertaker's going to be back on a full-time schedule.
That'd be fucking great. Undertaker didn't have shows and shit.
He's like main eventing superstars and like showing up on NXT. That'd be great.
He's got the weekly Undertaker challenge.
So I'm thinking, no, that's what I was kind of thinking, is that we're going to get Ambrose versus Rollins. I kind of like this, because Lesnar being in the main event, in the title hunt, doesn't make a lick of damn sense, because you can only do it two ways. Either Lesnar wins the belt, which you can't really have because he's so part-time. And I really do think the WWE, surprise, I think they learned their lesson on that one. I don't think he's going to have the belt again. I think he's always going to be an above-the-belt guy who's going to be specialty matches.
Yeah.
And then it leaves the main roster, you know, Rollins, to have the belt, maybe drop it to Reigns at WrestleMania next year. I'll say this, though. I like that they're very quietly, very slowly, they're giving Reigns more and more solo matches against various opponents, you know, and they're moving on pretty quickly. It's like, obviously, we're going to have some sort of Wyatt family thing with Reigns at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ambrose might get in on that then.
He might be a tag match at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. I like what they've been doing with Reigns. I mean, Give this another 6 months or whatever. Maybe by the time WrestleMania comes around, if they keep building him like this and never really threatening him as a title, as a guy who's like really looking at the title, because once you start doing that, that's when people are like, "Oh, you're pushing him."
Yeah.
Until
I'm telling you, I insist that the reason that Sheamus won Money in the Bank is to get the belt, because no one likes Sheamus.
Yeah.
And when Reigns wrestles Sheamus, by default, everybody will root for Reigns because no one likes Sheamus.
That is genius. That is genius. Well done.
So yeah, telling he's the best fantasy book right now. You guys are both, you're like, it's like 1A and 1B with you two. So I'm a terrible fantasy booker. This is me. It's just put a gun in his hand.
Well, here, on my mind, let's put a gun in his hand. Let's speculate in terms of assuming that it's Lesnar and Undertaker at SummerSlam.
Oh yeah,
who gets the win and why?
Oh, Undertaker, because now he'll be 21-1.
Yeah. Here's what I was thinking. They had Brock beat Undertaker, so when Reigns beat Brock, Reigns looked like the ultimate superhero.
Okay.
Now that didn't happen, I wonder if Vince is like, now I feel kind of bad about jobbing Undertaker out to Brock. Undertaker, here you go. You get your revenge right here.
Yeah. I don't see there's any way. Although it doesn't make any sense because he's like, a year or two older now.
Yeah.
And he's in Brock is still Brock. Brock literally just ate a car 2 weeks ago. It doesn't make a lick of sense, but you know, it is what it is. Undertaker's gonna win. He has to win. It's Undertaker.
Yeah,
I say Lesnar's gonna win it. Lesnar's gonna win it. Yeah, I think Lesnar's gonna completely. I hope Lesnar wins it. I think it'll be fun if Lesnar wins it because no one's expecting Lesnar to win it, and Lesnar winning it again. Then just, I mean, because Lesnar could start off a SummerSlam and WrestleMania undefeated streak where he just plays SummerSlam and WrestleMania and he's completely undefeated on all of them. Or he could just murder everyone. He's just a boss. I love that there's just a boss fight wandering around randomly.
Yeah. I agree. I much prefer Brock Wynn. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
It's like Jurassic Park, you know? The T-Rex is out there somewhere, and every now and then he'll just come in and eat all year, and there's no fucking fighting. You just got to run away from it. Because every match with, like, no one's really ever got anywhere close to beating Lesnar. I mean, Roman's come the closest, but that's because Lesnar got smashed his face into the pole. And that's, like, the closest they've got.
At the Royal Rumble, this last one, when it was Rollins and Cena.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of doubt.
It took two of them to get down.
Exactly. Exactly.
He's so far above and beyond everyone else that it's just... I'd love him just to kill it. I want him to have all the titles, just unify everything.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, because, like, bring him into the Divas division, really spice it up. Just like, you want a revolution? Paige is just there, and there's like, Brock just turns up behind her and just starts killing the Bellas, and... He wants, just all the championship belts. And then he's like on NXT, and everyone's just like running away, and then he just appears on like...
He goes like all the independent promotions for Wrestling Guerrilla and wins that belt. Up.
Yeah,
and he just he gets defeated because all of his belts he wears them all at the same time and it just crushes him to death.
He wears them during the match. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I think he has the belt smelted into a car. He just has them all. Or he like gets a car like the grill is just all his belts. My favorite tweet from last night actually was: can Sheamus just cash in on the Divas Championship? That's a good idea.
I really wanted to cash in on Ryback's one, the one that no one was contending. Just be
nobody cares.
Because you're allowed a champ. It always says you're allowed a champion match anytime you want. Just go in the ring and be like, now, start the count, and then see if the person can get there in 10 seconds.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, and then he wins.
Fucking great one to beat Lesnar. Lesnar's at home, just come back from a long day's hunting, and he puts on Raw. It's just Sheamus is there holding a briefcase like 5, 4, and Lesnar just like leaps fucking Superman style, just his house explodes behind him, he's flying through the air, he just lands in the ring, massive nuclear explosion killing everyone, but he got in time.
I did like that retweet you sent out last night, Dan, where it said nuclear explosion hits the arena, Cena and Owens kick out.
Yeah,
I like that. That was good. Other highlights?
That is where we're heading. If we just keep letting finishes happen and finishes keep getting less and less weak, we're going to end up with that sort of situation. We're going to Saints Row the shit out of WWE. Like, because now we're Saints Row 2 verging onto 3. Pretty soon it'll be demons fighting angels in hell with superpowers and it'll be very confusing for everyone involved.
Then Vince is going to be like, oh, what do we do next? Can we have Sheamus carry a gun around? Is that possible? Yes, Vince, says Steve.
What is your obsession with Sheamus having a gun?
I don't know. It'd be great.
He thinks everybody should have a gun.
It's not just Sheamus. Give me a break. It's everybody. I think it's like
ever since the Pillman Austin thing.
Ever since
Pillman
drew a gun. There has never been a more entertaining storyline than that night on Raw when Steve Austin went to Brian Pillman's house and Brian Pillman busted out a gun. He kept it real. And if you look at like the history of pro wrestling outside the ring anyways, there's a precedent for it. You know, you got New Jack, who's got like, what, 5 justifiable homicides. Scott Hall has a justifiable homicide. There is a precedent there, I think, that's been set that hasn't been mined properly. And that's the use of firearms in the ring. And the WWE is all about the red state thing, so they'd be like, yeah, Second Amendment, blah.
Yeah, but like America has like some sort of mass shooting every other day, so it'd always have that urge of just there would always be somebody who would complain and they'd lose money, and Vince loves money more than he loves guns, I'd say.
I know, but also Vince loves controversy. That's why like he books people like Eugene who are supposed to be mentally challenged. You know, it's like if there's something offensive to be done, that's what Triple H is there for. He sort of to check Vince's inclination to book offensive things on his show. Oh, there's a mass shooting? Oh, let's have a character with a gun. No, Vince, dad.
He could be a teenager with no friends. Shut up, Vince. Shut up.
Exactly. Just Jesus, stop it, Vince. Christ. Stop it right now.
Who's this ISIS? Shut the fuck up, Vince.
Who is this ISIS? They did that, though, Larson. Remember, they did that.
Yeah.
They did Muhammad Hussein, who would come to the ring with guys with masks on. And everything but guns, and they would do that. They would stage what looked like an ISIS video back in like 2002 or something.
Even going back during the first Iraq War, they had a Sergeant Slaughter went rogue, and the Iron Sheik was his manager.
It's not. Believe me, Vince has Vince notes. And on these Vince notes, I guarantee you, every single time, like right now, Vince thinks it'd be a great idea to bring Donald Trump on the air and have him fight like a poor Greek boy.
That's what you want.
Callista,
a poor
like the Lucha
boy.
Dragons. He'd fight the Lucha Dragons, and he'd probably have Trump go over.
You want Trump versus just a poor Greek child with nothing left?
Yes, exactly.
Just kicking the shit out of a tiny child.
Yeah.
And you know what? Vince. Trump would go up in the Republican ratings. That's a true fact from that moment onwards. Seriously, what the fuck is Donald Trump? All right, let's not talk. Because he was in like wrestling for a little bit, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was in wrestling.
Yeah, let's talk about how much of an asshole Donald Trump is. So, he's just such a fucking floppy-haired twat bag.
Oh yes.
Because America's like whenever news comes from America as it sails across the oceans and comes to us posh British people, we're all there going, "Hey, what's this?" Donald Trump doesn't make sense. Like Donald Trump running for president, we just go, "Why do you have a system that lets you do that?" We have systems in place that let the posh rich people get in there, not the terrifying black and gold rich people who have no taste
in
anything.
This is America, Dan. This is the land of freedom. As long as you have money, you can run for president. It doesn't matter what you are.
As long as you have money, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. That's the real lesson that should be learned to the world. That's what I say.
Freedom is money. That's what
it is. He's a big old joke. We have a history of primary season being chock full of nutcases. It's just Trump is sort of the highest profile one to come around in a while. But it's usually actually a bit scarier than Trump because there's people like Michelle Bachmann who are like legitimately actually already politically like political figures, people who are actually government
officials. Yeah, they've actually been elected to office. Yeah.
Who have terrifying ideas, and it's like, you know, she gets a surge in Iowa or some shit, and it's like, oh my God, please don't tell me. Trump is a cartoon. We know this guy ain't got a chance in hell because he's seriously a cartoon. But there are like experienced actual politicians who can weasel their way into office who run for president, like, and they get eliminated usually during primary season because there's no way the right's going to run somebody who isn't electable in the general election. So it's been a lot scarier than Trump. It's just he's the cartoonish version, and so everybody pays attention to him.
There is a precedent set, and it was set by England, though, is that we have British Donald Trump. We have a guy who's incredibly stupid. Well, not incredibly stupid, acts incredibly stupid, even though he is quite smart and evil and has stupid hair, and his name is Boris Johnson, and he's the mayor of London. And
I saw his picture everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, he's terrifyingly evil and also buffoonish, so everybody voted for him.
He totally did remind me of a British Donald Trump. I noticed that.
That's
but
exactly
I got the impression everybody loved that guy. Nobody likes that guy?
Everybody loves that guy. Everybody votes for that guy. And you look at the stuff that he's done and go, hey, nobody can afford to live in London anymore. He's like, yeah, only my posh friends can. It's one of those people. It's one of those. If you didn't go to the universities when they were free, tough shit, because now they're a million jillion pounds.
So why can't that guy run for prime minister?
Because I would assassinate him.
The law office representing Dan Nerdcubed wished to declare that Dan has no intention of assassinating anyone, and any comments indicating as such are meant to be satirical in nature. There, now he's covered. So he could. See, this is the thing.
Okay, let's just
You're sitting there on your little British high stool talking shit about American Donald Trump. And I guarantee you when Boris Johnson runs,
he's pretty much guaranteed to be like the next prime minister running after Cameron, like for the Conservatives. Like that. The only saving grace that we have is Eddie Izzard, the absolutely fantastic comedian, is running for like the opposition.
Really? That's great.
Because like he's been studying politics and fantastic stuff, so we know what he's going to be doing, but he's going to be doing it for more of the opposition, and look, that would be the best thing because he is very fantastic.
Mm-hmm,
but it could be Boris Johnson versus Eddie Izzard, and if anybody looked at that and they see British Donald Trump versus a transvestite, they go, "It's Starcade 85. What's happening?" There, I tied it back in.
All right. Other highlights from the show.
I slept through most of the Sheamus match, so I still haven't got the
computer. Yeah.
That was first.
Appropriate response. It was pretty boring.
Yeah, I got that was first, and I haven't actually got my computer running video yet. So I actually ended up running it through my PlayStation, through my TV, but I missed most of that, and I cannot stand the blanditude that is Sheamus with his nothing. He's just nothing. Sheamus is like crap package paper. You know when you get that, so if you get an Amazon package, there's still that brown paper, and you don't, you have no other use for brown paper. Like, it burns immediately, so you can't even start a fire with it. It's there, and it doesn't even do a great job, because your package is all banged up. That's what Sheamus is. He's brown package paper, but the whitest thing on the planet.
Yep.
There.
I thought the Divas match was okay. I wasn't sure it was a great showcase for their first.
It seems slower paced than just the match that Sasha Banks and Charlotte had on NXT last week.
Oh, yeah. You know what I actually thought? I was like, when it was like, sure, who started out? Was it Charlotte or Sasha Banks versus one of the Bells? I think it was Brie versus, however it started out, I think it was Charlotte. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, I don't think the Bellas really know how to wrestle. And so this is going to be kind of annoying because I know that Charlotte and Sasha Banks are going to want to really do their thing. And I don't think the Bellas know how to keep up. And that's what I kind of got.
That was my worry too. Yeah.
There were four, probably four girls in the ring. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the three, Paige, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, or Becky Lynch and then Sasha Banks. They all know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi has a good thing going, kind of.
Yeah, Naomi's good.
But everybody else, like Tamina's just big. And then the Bellas and Alicia Fox, none of them know what they're doing. And so you kind of had like, it's sort of half and half. Like you have sort of half of the people know what they're doing, half of them don't. And that doesn't really usually make for a really good match. And so I think this, when it's funny because you notice it when any of the NXT girls were in there against each other, it was going off really good. Like when Sasha stacked, I know it was Brie, but she stacked Brie and Charlotte.
Yeah.
On the corner ropes. I thought that was fantastic.
There was large stretches of the match where they just tossed Brie out of the ring so they can do their own thing.
Right, exactly. And I thought that was necessary. So I'm like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Phase the Bellas out. Let what's-her-face...
Nikki get the
Nikki
record.
Have the record. That's fine. That probably placates Vince. But then, you know, get Charlotte the belt ASAP or even Sasha pretty quickly. And then bring Bayley in as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It was a million times better than any Divas match on a pay-per-view in the last year, though.
Yes, that is absolutely correct.
And it had the highlight of the night in it, which was Cole calling Sasha Banks Sasha Gray, which I thought was incredibly fun.
You know, that was, now that you bring that up, number two things struck me about the commentary. Number one, I mean, it always strikes me about the commentary, but especially so during the NXT, the ladies match, was just how terrible Cole is. I mean, I think I just am able to sort of phase him out, but maybe I'm just used to, like, NXT has decent commentary. Like, I'm never turned off by it. Cole is just a giant fucking turnoff.
You know what? I'm actually going to defend my hatred enemy of Michael Cole, because during the Beast in the East, that's what that is, the Beast in the East thing, his commentary was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was calling spots and he was doing everything he should do. And he actually, I was there going, I'm enjoying Cole's commentary. What is happening now?
I wonder if there's a difference because he did that live from like the studio. He wasn't
in
there.
In Bristol, yeah.
Yeah,
Bristol,
he wasn't there.
Stanford, yeah.
At the event, they were doing it from Bristol, yeah.
I just think he had way less voices in his ear telling him what to say during it.
Yeah, that
it
could
was
be.
Ridiculously
that could be
early in the morning for you guys for once.
Yeah, but I'm not getting up that early. Fuck that.
Just like, let me know if Kofi survives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let me know if we're going to have an insurance issue on our hands or another lawsuit.
After Brock Lesnar lobbed that car door at a giant.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Oh, he nearly decapitated a child. That's what the Undertaker's come back for. The Undertaker's defending
the
child. You went too
far.
That
was my son's best friend, Kyle.
He
can't throw doors
shit
at people. His dad is all over my ass about wrestling. It's annoying. You know how it is? I'm trying to read my paper and Phil's out there. Anyways, we gotta get going on this. So anyways, any other high spots or low spots
where
we can talk about?
Yes, a high spot. The New Day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're great match.
And you know what?
Xavier Woods is great.
Curses to you, Dan, for talking so much shit last time about Xavier Woods' YouTube channel, because that thing is a thing of brilliance.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
It's amazing.
It really is. Anytime you can get Rusev playing Street Fighter. And like
Seth Rollins playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Heroes in Time.
The entire time Rusev was playing, I was just waiting for him to say something because I was like, wait a second. Xavier Woods is using Austin Creed. That's his real name. They're none of them, like most of them, when they're on there, I mean, Seth does. But like when it was a bunch of them, like Heath Slater, when it they called him Mr. Miller because his real name is Heath Miller. So they're doing this. I mean, it's so weird because it's kind of significant that you have this platform, you know, the YouTube thing that they're doing, and that's their form of reach out. But then they're doing it as a behind the scenes type thing using kind of their real names.
Yep.
Which is fascinating because that's the first time they've really done like something like that, you know? So anyways,
I don't know why they're referring to Rusev as Tong Po.
That's got to be that might be the kind of thing where they're like, Rusev is too. He has too much of a mystique about him.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't
maybe that's
really
his Xbox handle.
And that's, yeah, there you go. And that's what I was waiting for to hear him talk, because I was like, wait a second. I don't know if he really has an accent or not. And he does. And he was like, yeah, I was playing it. I let you do my finisher or something like that. I don't know. It was funny because he was talking like any other normal bros would be talking when they're playing video games. But he had it in his Rusev accent. And he was like, I don't know. It was cute. There was something very cute about it. I never thought I'd apply the word cute to Rusev, but it was very cute. It was very charming. I love Rusev. He's my favorite.
But the combination of that plus the incredibly funny New Day match, they sort of won me over. Because normally I'm like, yeah, it's the New Day. I kind of like them, but yeah. And this time I was just like, that was hilarious and brilliant. And I sort of liked it.
Yeah. They're fantastic. I hope that they do a third match against the Primetime Players at SummerSlam, because I think they could really take this feud into some really entertaining places.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tricep meet places.
Oh, that was great. That was so funny.
It really was. I think we've actually gone through pretty much everything now.
All right, time to talk about...
No, there's one more thing. The what? Miz was there dressed as Kylie Minogue. And that's everything.
I was cracking up at Miz's. I don't know what. Sometimes I'm just in a Miz mood. It's weird. Like, I don't want him anywhere near the main event. But when he comes out and just says, St. Louis, will you please shut up?
I know. My hand's up, your mouth is closed.
That was great. Crowd
the Big Show hasn't been around since the Attitude Era. That was good. I don't know. I laughed. That was funny. It was a good little spot, good little moment. And then Ryback's going to come back and pfft, whatever. Sorry about Starrcade 85.
Yeah.
All right, if we have to.
It's time for our book of the match. We'll go through this quickly. There are a couple of things that I just really loved about this. Because, Larson, this is your fault. Because you were up one night, I guess. And you started texting me telling me that you were watching Starrcade 85.
Well, you know, after the last pay-per-view episode of Going in Raw, we were like, okay, let's find a pay-per-view that's got a Dusty Rhodes match. So I went on the network and tried to find the oldest WCW pay-per-view they had. They have one older than this.
Always
but this
a good
is the
idea,
one
yeah.
where Dusty wins the belt from Flair.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I'll start watching. And then I was texting you. I was like, oh my god, two matches in, there's already been three cowboy characters. This is definitely Southern wrestling.
And one of the cowboy characters was a fucking Soviet. Crusher Khrushchev.
He wrestled against a cowboy character. Sam
I know, but when you listen to Crusher
he had no accent. He's just like a guy.
I'm a Russian athlete. I'm a Russian athlete. You're obviously not. You know who that was? That was a Barry Darso. He was
Yep.
So anyways, a couple things that I really loved. A couple things that I really, really love about these old fucking pay-per-views. And it's not even pay-per-view. It was the closed-circuit TV, which I'm still kind of uncertain as to what the fuck that is.
I'm still convinced the whole setup was for cockfighting based on the lighting of the arenas. But
I thought it was
decided at the last minute to let humans fight.
It was like the old Southern tradition of live televised snuff films. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, it definitely had that vibe.
It had a snuff film cockfight vibe for sure.
Yeah.
The technical awkwardness of the entire affair, like even from when like they cut to the announced team and it's fucking Tony Schiavone, who apparently doesn't age beyond having a mustache
here and
there. Yeah,
he looks the exact same.
Looks the exact same. And, you know, but they wait for about 5 seconds before they say anything. And then they cut to the guy at the other place. And,
oh, the backstage guy with all the scars on his head?
Oh, I thought he was at the other venue. He was just backstage. Okay.
Oh yeah. Well, there's the guy that was doing the backstage interviews.
Yeah. No. Okay. Okay. Awkward. That's who it was. And he was awkward as shit. And then when they cut back to the announcers and they cut back to him, and for some reason the camera or him has moved, so he's only occupying half the frame.
Yeah.
It's fucking I love shit like that. And this is the crazy thing: every single soul in that audience thought it was all real.
Yeah. It was, because most of them were old ladies. Like 90% of the audience was just someone's nan.
But honestly, like, if I see a match like the Abdullah the Butcher match, like, so much blood. How would you think of any, like, how would you think it's not real? Why would these guys be doing this to each other if it's not real?
Yeah.
The blood.
So much blood.
Yeah,
Should we
uncomfortable level of blood. Like sometimes you're there's a bit of blood. Well, that means things are heating up. This was like, all right, we're gonna need like swabs, like because this shit needs to be sorted out. Yeah. Like this is, a shower's not gonna fix that.
Like, how are we gonna clean this up before the next match? And I guess that's, I mean, I know this is sort of like they didn't do this very often, the whole like two venue thing. But I guess in between the matches, that's when they cleaned up the blood, because there was a lot of blood to clean up, and that is just horribly unsafe working environments.
Well, that explains whatever was on Abdul the Butcher's head.
Okay. That was fucking net. Like, he came out, and then a fan grabbed his robe, and he almost went apeshit on a fan. And he's got a giant, already bleeding, pussing, nasty, fucking giant knob on the top of his head.
Yeah.
Oh my god, like everybody he just walked by now has Hep C.
The pre-show match was him versus all the cocks, so they had to get out of the ring before it started. That's where that came from.
God damn it. And then another thing I noticed is that the NWA, I get that it was a territory thing, but like there was just a belt for everybody. Like everybody had it. What the fuck is a Mid-Atlantic belt? I mean, I think I know what it is. It's like from the Mid-Atlantic promotion, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought it was like everybody has their own belt. And I'm like, you know, we all bitch about, oh, is the United States Championship, is the Intercontinental Championship going to be relevant? I'm like, these guys, everybody had a belt.
Yeah, how was the NWA National Heavyweight Championship relevant? Especially when Buddy Landell, Ric Flair 2.0, has it. I mean, he just died. Rest in peace.
He just died. June 22nd, he died. Yeah, I looked that up.
I mean,
it's crazy, though. Like, Abdullah the Butcher versus Manny Fernandez, I think it was. Raging Bull.
Yeah.
They're both still alive. Black Bart versus Ron Bass, they're still alive. Wow. Buddy Landell just died. Terry Taylor, obviously, is in great condition. He's still alive. That guy doesn't age. Magnum TA, probably the best thing ever to happen to him was getting in that motorcycle accident, because he seems quick as a whip these days. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still alive. Tully Blanchard's still alive. Minnesota Wrecking Crew's still alive.
Yeah. Billy Graham's still alive.
Is Wahoo McDaniel still alive?
I think so.
How was Wahoo McDaniel? He looked 80 back then.
I don't know.
Another thing I loved was Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah.
He came out in a shirt that said the Street People. Now, I know that this was kind of early Reagan era. I mean, it's like, I guess he had just finished his first term.
Yeah.
But like Reagan, I'm not sure he had let out all the crazy people onto the streets yet. So this is maybe before the Street People meant homeless people, because I think that's what it means now.
Yeah, I don't remember if he... You mean letting people all the out of the mental...
Yeah.
No, I don't remember when that happened.
Wahoo died in 2002. Wow.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm.
Anyways, a lot of these people are still alive, and it just goes to show, like, you know, this was steroid-ish era, but it was kind of, like, not when it got out of control, I think. Like, most of these guys look like they're... A lot of them, anyways, look like they're natural, you know? Like, nobody's going to accuse...
Except Billy Graham,
who's like the one big exception. He was like the forefather of steroids in wrestling. I mean, I remember the most disturbing thing I've ever read out of or I've ever heard of in wrestling, well, one of the most disturbing because there's plenty of them, is when Billy Graham in his autobiography was talking about doing steroids. He was like, yeah, I would just lay there in bed and I'd feel myself getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fucked up, man. That's just, there's something really unnatural about that.
Wrestling!
That's what we're here to celebrate today, people.
Levity! God, I'm fucking
bad. Oh, man. Anyway, so, yeah, lots of blood. It's just, it came off like a giant, like, staged snuff film.
It wasn't the worst Saw film I've ever seen. That was
no. Oh my god! I had the exact same thought. It was during the Tully Blanchard Magnum TA match, when he was like literally, I forget what that sharp object was because
it was like a chair, a wooden chair or something.
Mm-hmm. It was then like a shank.
Yeah. Again, Mission Impossible is going to stab him in the eye with it. It's right mm-hmm. there.
He was like, it's this. Maybe that's why I love it, is because it's basically my kind of fantasy booking. Because I'm like, if any of these people had thought to bring a gun, they would have brought a gun. Like, and I'm surprised. I guarantee you there's at least five guns in the audience because this is the South.
I think five's low.
That's probably a low figure, yeah.
I love the cage, though, because it was like, and standing at 6'5", the cage of unescapableness.
It's like we just grabbed it from somebody's backyard really quick.
Right. There's an aluminum fence outlet next to the arena. We just grabbed some stuff in the dumpster.
Now we have a cage match. Nice. Production value. Magnum TA would have been huge if he didn't get in that motorcycle accident. That guy was nothing but charisma.
I know.
That guy's a stud. Like, I'm straight as can be, but he's a stud.
Yeah, he was.
So anyways, I don't know. I love this shit. It always makes me wonder. I'm like, what was I doing back in 85? Like, I could have been watching this back in 85. I think I was like 7 years old.
I wasn't.
You were not even in existence. Am I correct, Dan?
No. I was some fucking... I don't even know. Ooh, existential crisis. I was still probably disappointed by this, though, wherever the fuck I was.
Yeah, wherever
because
you were.
I looked at the card for it, and I was like, there was someone in there that I was like, that's going to be so weird, because the World Tag Championships match was Ivan and whoever, Koloff or whatever.
Oh, the Koloff,
versus The Rock and a guy called Roll Express. I was like, I didn't know The Rock was active in 85. What's this going to be? And then they came out as The Rock and Roll Express. And I was like, oh, man.
That's a character for fuck wrestling, Roll Express.
Yeah, Roll Express.
And he teams up with The Rock.
Or just a guy named Roll.
Yeah, Roll, Rock and Roll.
It was just such bizarre. It looked like, the whole thing looked like a fight in a bar that was only intended by people who do, like, shot putting for a living. You know, like those giant Olympians, that's what it sort of looked like. There was no difference in any of the people apart from hair color. It was like a really early WWE game for like the PS1.
Yeah.
Just they changed the hair color.
You know what I've always noticed about these NWA, WCW shows is that the audience always looks like they're from 10 years prior to when the show happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everybody in the audience look like they're straight from 1975.
Yeah, I know. It's great. And then
old people,
if you watch one from like... Yeah, if you watch one from like 1992, like right when they're on the cusp, everybody looks like they're from 1982. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Yeah. It's always exactly right.
I just looked it up, and Dusty Rhodes didn't win the championship during this match. Or he did win it, but then the next day he lost it. They were like, no, it's DQ.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
A dusty finish. There we go.
The dusty finish. There you go.
Yep. And I think it was... They did the Great American Bash that year for the first time, and that's when Dusty finally...
beat Flair.
And there were so many, like, the finishes.
Was it next year?
We were
it
talking about year. Finishes earlier. Like, the Wahoo McDaniel, who did they fight? Was that the Wrecking Crew? Ole and Arn? Maybe it was them.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that finish was just somebody stumbled off the top rope, kind of, or on like the second rope, and sort of stumbled onto Wahoo, and then Wahoo just couldn't get. Or I think Ole might have been holding his foot. Maybe that.
No,
was
yeah,
like
yeah.
That, yeah.
Arn was holding Ole's foot, or vice versa.
Yeah,
and there was one part during the match where I'm sure Arn whipped his dick.
Oh my God! No! That's a note. There's a lot of Dick Arn spots. That's right. Because there was one, there was one part, there's a lot of dick spots in this. There was one part where, like, one of the guys, who was Wahoo with? I forget. I don't know.
Billy Jack Hayes.
Billy Jack Hayes, there you go. Where his head was, like, buried in Arn's crotch.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another spot during the Magnum TA Tully Blanchard match where Tully was on his knees, and I don't know what he was trying to accomplish. I literally think he was trying to make him give him a blowjob because he had his hands on his head and he was just ramming it into his cock.
Yeah.
Wrestling! I mean,
that's just... That was awesome. And then, of course, Tully headbutts his cock.
We've confused cockfighting and other things now, haven't we?
truly cockfighting. Anyways, it's bizarre. Fucking Starrcade 85. What a bunch of weird bullshit this is. But I would love the Journey to the South in the fucking 80s. It's probably just a nightmare.
Next time, something good. Like something, we'll do something. Let's do one of those ones where it's amazing and brilliant. Let's go for something amazing and brilliant.
What's the previous
let's do something with The Undertaker. Let's see The Undertaker in his prime. Let's show
what
me
about,
good Undertaker.
Okay, well, we have a couple options. We can either do, if you want good Undertaker, what about which one was Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania? That was supposed to be really...
Which one? There's
really
two of them.
Good.
Or we could do... here's a couple options.
Triple H versus Taker when Michaels was the guest ref.
Well, hold on.
Go ahead.
Sticking with the SummerSlam thing, here's two ideas. Okay. One is Bret Hart, Bulldog, main event for the IC belt. Mm-hmm. And they had the show at Wembley.
Okay.
I think that was 92 or 93.
All right.
Or we can do SummerSlam 98, which is Stone Cold Undertaker.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Attitude. We need to revisit the Attitude Era, I think. Okay. And
I believe it's 98. Yeah, it has to be 98 because, 98.
All right. And that's sort of to celebrate as well, Stone Cold being the centerpiece of WWE 2K16.
Let me look up the
which
the
I'm hoping you do that, and which I'm hoping they're going to have custom story mode because goddammit, I want my custom story mode back.
Yes.
I want to be able to make a diva. There's so many things that was missing. I want the bloody loading screens in between creating your character to not be 30 seconds every time you change the hat.
Yeah, that's sort of top of my list too, is loading screens. Like if I have a custom story and I have a bunch of cutscenes, it's necessary for them to flow into each other. I don't want loading screens in between the cutscenes.
Oh man.
What?
All right, here's the card.
Okay.
I remember watching this. This is when we were living in L.A., Steve. I remember watching this show.
Okay.
D'Lo Brown versus Val Venus for the European Championship.
Classic.
The Oddities versus Kai and Tai.
Oh, Dan's going to love that.
X-Pac defeated... Oh, sorry, versus Jeff Jarrett. Spoiler alert. Edge and Sable versus Mark Merrow and Jacqueline.
Oh, Sable is... Dan, do you know who Sable is?
Lesnar's thing.
Very good.
Yeah, I have been listening. I've been paying attention.
And Steve, I remember this match.
Oh, no.
Ken Shamrock versus Owen Hart in the Lions
match. Oh, Dan, you're going to love this.
Oh, God.
New Age Outlaws against Mankind. Triple H and The Rock in a ladder match.
Ooh.
And then Stone Cold and The Undertaker for the championship.
That sounds
Shamrock
fun.
Shamrock versus Owen in the den.
You remember that?
I do. It is. Oh, my God. It's like it's either a wrestling match or a romantic comedy. I don't know which.
Oh,
one.
I love both.
It's both.
It's going to be the best.
I think it's
thing.
Both.
It's fantastic. It's exactly why wrestling has to be in a ring in a public venue with lots of people. Otherwise, it's just
and not in somebody's basement.
Otherwise, it's just plain weird. it's just well, again, you know. I do things in my bedroom with my wife. Everybody does stuff with their loved ones in their bedrooms. It doesn't always need to be on camera. That's my point. We don't need to see it on pay-per-view.
Not this kind of pay-per-view, anyway.
Not this kind of pay-per-view.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the SummerSlam poster? Let me link it to you very quickly. Yeah. This is actually from Dodo.com. Check out this spectacular levels of Photoshop. And then try and describe this.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Why is Paige 18 feet tall? Like, compare the position of Ziggler to the position of Paige. And she's, like, same head height, but she's, like... Whoa. 5 meters back.
Why does Ambrose's head like twice the size it should be?
And why does all of the Undertaker look like he's hand drawn?
Why is like, the look Undertaker face looks from like a comic 2002? Book. What is going
Sheamus,
on here?
Sheamus looks like he's genuinely waiting for the train.
The only real person in this picture is Sheamus. Look at Reigns. Look at Reigns.
What do you mean, the action figure of Reigns?
Oh yes, my God. That's exactly what it looks like, an action figure.
Look at the side. Right, Ambrose and Ziggler are the same thing, but Ambrose is so much further back. It's so weird.
It's weird. And his head's too big.
The perspective is just, like, it's actually, like, MC Escher was their guest artist for this.
And Undertaker's face is literally drawn on his body.
My.
That is not a picture of his head.
Oh my God.
That is a drawing.
This is hilarious.
That is awful.
Why the fuck is Lana with Ziggler? What the fuck? That's Lana, isn't it? I missed something?
Oh, Dan, haven't you been paying attention? This is like the best angle that's been happening right now. Because it's completely... I'm a huge Rusev mark now because of this. So Lana left Rusev, or he dumped her, and she wouldn't go back. Rusev started shacking up with Summer Rae while Lana started shacking up with Dolph Ziggler. But Rusev's fucking mic skills have been hilarious because Summer Rae is exactly what he wants. A subservient sort of like...
How do you describe her? Willfully submissive?
Yeah, willfully. My new girlfriend who is both hot and willfully submissive. He's got this comedy kit going, but it's like not like... It's not like this overt comedy thing. Like last week, Kevin Owens comes out because Rusev comes out for the U.S. Open for Cena's thing, right? And then Kevin Owens comes out and says, no, if anybody's going to beat Cena, it's going to be me. And Rusev says, what are you talking about? I don't even know who you are. What is with your name? You have two first names, Kevin and Owen. Which is it? Make up your mind. Oh, it was fucking brilliant. He has been absolutely... He comes... He was running down Lana and he says, you like how they say in the bed, a dead fish.
Cold fish.
Kissing you is like kissing a ring post.
He described himself as more passionate and better looking than Dolph, too.
It's been brilliant. It's been fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's been really funny.
So that's been fun. I'm disappointed Rusev isn't somewhere. Maybe he is on this poster and he's like photoshopped behind Cena or something. I don't know. He's photoshopped behind Sasha Banks. That's how much they fucked it up. Can't see him.
Lesnar ate him before the photo was taken.
Lesnar's about to eat us.
God, I really hope they genuinely took that as a photo in some fucking parallel universe somewhere. It'd be the best thing ever. That is just... I'm just getting... We'll try and link down the description because, like even Bray's hand, like, Bray's knees are with the Undertaker's feet. He's leaning back and he has his hands up. Yeah, his hands are in front of where the Undertaker's coming. Ah!
Oh, it's so weird.
What a clusterfuck. Like, Triple H probably did it. Hey, like, I've been trying this Photoshop stuff. Look at that. I drew the Undertaker's... There's an app. I drew the Undertaker's face.
Give the Undertaker a zoom in of an ass for a chest. It's going to be brilliant. Yeah.
It's going to be great. I love Dan's doing his Triple H. That's great.
It's my Triple H voice. Show your face.
Sounded like you were going kind of nasally there, so I thought you were doing a Triple H.
Yeah, I was trying.
See, that's great.
It's quite hard to do. It's very hard to do American accents because I've watched so much American TV, I just assume everyone talks like that. I get confused by anyone without American accents. It's like, I don't speak like that? Oh, good heavens. Wow, I wish I did. I thought I totally was a... Definitely one of those. American
Everybody
speakers.
Speaks like Hugh Laurie, huh?
Yeah. That's exactly
it's funny, I've been watching finally, like after years and years of hearing how great it is, I've been watching The Wire on HBO. Mm-hmm. And the lead character, at least in the first season, is played by a British actor. Mm-hmm. But he does a great American accent until he starts getting really heated, like emotionally. Like when he starts yelling at his lieutenant, it's like, oh, I hear you're slipping. You can't quite get us when we're mad, can you?
No. Because we don't know how to fire guns in Britain. That's the difference.
Exactly. No frame rate. Yeah, he's playing a cop in Baltimore, too, which is like the worst place. Anyway, for just gun violence and whatnot. Yeah, I'm sure it's a lovely place. I'm sure it's great.
With a cheap hill heat there.
I'm sure there are worse places in the world. Hey, Baltimore, please shut up. I'll be a heel. I don't care. Anyways, this is our Adam Rose gimmick of the month.
Going in Rose.
Oh no, Adam Rose.
That's right. Larson, you go first since you actually have one.
Okay. So, Adam Rose's first stint in WWE didn't go too well.
Yeah.
So, they sent him back to NXT since the whole Rosebud thing wasn't working.
Yeah.
And while he's in the Performance Center working out, trying out some new stuff, one of the trainers there takes a look at him while he's doing some of his in-ring work, and he thinks to himself, you know, this guy has good size, he's got decent charisma, he's got a good set of moves, this guy should, you know, he has all the skills, he should be huge. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say he's kind of got, you know, the total package. Why isn't this guy a huge star? Then a light bulb goes off in his head. You know, Rose used to wrestle as Leo Kruger at NXT, so why not follow through on this guy's, you know, initial thought that Adam Rose is, in fact, the total package, and rename him Leo Luger, son of Lex, and the new total package.
Oh, Leo Luger.
Oh, goddammit, that was great. All right, I'm going to go now.
Good, because I'm still writing notes in my own.
All right, that's fine. Mine is terrible, so you're going to have to do it quick. Leo Luger is sitting at home, and he's like, this Luger thing isn't working out. I forgot how terrible Lex Luger is, and plus he killed Miss Elizabeth. And so he's like, man, you know, I just don't feel like training right now. This sucks. I'm going to have some donuts. I'm going to turn on the TV, see what's on. He comes across like TNT. On TNT, they're having a Batman marathon, but it's like all the Batmans. And so he's like, you know, he's like, oh, which one's on right now? Batman and Robin. Oh, this looks terrible. And so, he comes across this, but he's a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. And so Arnold Schwarzenegger's on there. He's like, oh, who's this guy? Wow, what an interesting character. His name is Mr. Freeze. Hey, it's Mr. Freeze. And he's like, well, fuck. This is a really cool character. He can, like, shoot people with ice, and they just stand still, and then he can kill them and stuff. I wonder if I could do something like that with, like, some, like effects and stuff. He's like, but what would my name be? Adam Rose? How about Adam Froze?
Jeez.
I'm sorry, it's bad. I fucking forgot we were even doing this fucking thing. I like Leon Luger. That's a good one. Can I just steal that?
Okay. Luger. Right. I've got some notes because I didn't come up with one, so I frantically wrote this. So this is a bit long and a bit dark, but
in a dark place right now, Dan.
I am in a dark place, so I've come up with the dark one. So right. At SummerSlam, this upcoming SummerSlam is coming up. It's going on like normal and stuff, but we then cut to a backstage segment. Now, it looks a bit more frantic and stuff. There's no commentary over it. It's just, it seems to be completely different. And as they are going through the backstage, they come to a place and it's just, there's three or four wrestlers who have just been, like, beaten down. But not standard, they're beaten down. There is, like, blood and they are just, like, fucked up. And they are, there's medics and shit, and it becomes fucking handheld camera horror film for this backstage segment. It's, like, the most fucked up, like, thing. All these wrestlers, they're like said to be in comas for absolutely ages and stuff. They're like, it's like the like really dark shit. And we stop laughing. You're ruining the dark. I want mysterious music playing. Laughter. So these the wrestler. There's a whole lot of in the dressing room. There's a whole lot of changing room. Whatever. There's this whole lot of speculation of who did this. Which one of us could have done it? And there's a lot of blame being pushed and stuff. And then these four wrestlers keep getting singled out. They keep having these messages. Like, they open their locker and there's sort of like, it's filled with blood and it pours out. And they go to they open their locker. They're opening a lot of things and a lot of bad crap's happening to them. And their clothes are getting ripped up. And there's horrible messages being sent that it's one of these four. And these four are like, right, we need to track down whoever is doing this. Because whoever is doing this knows which one of us did it. It is a witness. So these four spend their time trying to track down the witness, and they find out who the witness is, and they reveal to the audience that the witness is Adam Knows What You Did Last Summer. Boom! Yeah!
Adam Knows What You Did Last Summer. Oh my god.
Or Summer. Yeah. Adam Knows. No, fuck. Adam Knows What You Did Last Summer. Slam. Slam. Yeah. There you go.
That was good. That was good. See, Dan, did that make you forget your troubles for just a few moments, maybe?
Well, not until you fucking reminded me of them. Then, yeah. And I'm back. Well done. You right back to me. Thanks.
I'm playing. I'm playing heel, so that's sort of my job. Shut up, Baltimore. Oh Lord, and the Deep South. I've offended everybody today. I'm fine with
that. Donald Trump, all the Republicans.
Donald, yeah, exactly. There, I'm totally fine offending them.
Yeah,
that's okay. Anyways, so we're thinking SummerSlam 98 for the next book of the match.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's wow. Look at that. We're on top of our shit today.
For the first time in so long ever.
Exactly. So yeah, there's that, and then yeah, I think that's our show for the day, Dan. I hope things look up for you, pal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hopefully by the next episode, you'll have your new computer.
Yes.
And everything will be right in the world.
Let's hope so. Or there will be blood, and you'll never find out who will do it.
Except Adam knows what you did last year.
SummerSlam.
That's brilliant. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Don't praise what doesn't deserve
it's
to
great.
Be praised.
I encourage you. I encourage you through and through.
Yeah. All right. I'm going. Bye.
Goodbye.